The shiur has been given, the Yidur Nishmas of Imori, the son of the Rav of Ufuel, as you said, is tonight and tomorrow, Chabada. This is part five of the series of Hilchos Brachos. Tonight we're going to discuss a rather common issue, not uncommon bichlal, namely, if I have a bracha that I recite on a food item, but as soon as I make the bracha, for some reason, there are a fair number of reasons that could be advanced, the food can no longer be eaten, either because I realize the food is spoiled, the food is mekulko, the food is unfit for consumption, the food falls on the floor, and I'm a punuk, I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, and the like. So I'm squeamish and fastidious. And now the question is, what is the nature of that bracha? That bracha that, I think there's some more mamma comments there. That bracha, is that bracha considered to be a bracha batal? So when one considers the question, l'chura ein makom this topic, what's the topic? Of course it's a bracha batal. The halacha is that a bracha of this nature, there are different types of brachas, there's a little bit of samitzis, shav kodom, sanenin. This is a classic bracha sanenin. Person is nene, min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, tzchayim from yilo gzeilo. Made a bracha. If it's a bracha samitzah, so the bracha has to be chal mitzvah. Shav kodom, so it has to be shav kodom. That said, on something that's worthy, shav kodom. Bracha sanenin requires hanah. There is no hanah. The food was miskalkel. It's not roi l'achila. What's the din? So this is the subject, as you can imagine. Usually in all these issues, that's machlokas. And that's always the classic answer. And no matter which way you go, you probably have somewhere to hang your hat on. There's a famous tshuva about Tzvi Pesach Frank. That's in front of me on page number one. And he quotes actually a famous Tzitzit in Brachas and Lamites. This has a Yerushalmi. It's a well-known Yerushalmi. Make a bracha on a turmis. Turmis is mentioned by the Gemara Shabbos and elsewhere. It's an ayin that requires an enormous amount of bishul in order to make it royal achila. And then it falls from your hands. So the Yerushalmi says, here it fell. It's no longer edible, no longer royal achila. You might be in the category of a bracha batala. You should make Baruch Shem Kvam Husi Lom Bo. And then Yerushalmi ends by the Chayin Ocham Omar, Al Kol Bracha Bracha, Al Kol Bracha Batala, Baruch Shem Kvam Husi Lom Bo. So this, in effect, is the position of Yerushalmi. By the way, the same Yerushalmi discusses another fascinating issue, which I'm not going to discuss right now, but it's also a well-known issue. I don't know if you remember. At one time, they had water fountains. I don't know if they had them in this country. But where I came from, in the Bronx, New York, there were water fountains. And actually, at that point in time, many decades ago in my life, when we went to the park and played ball or whatever we did, then we were thirsty and we drank water. We turned on the faucet of the water fountain, but the water that I make a bracha on is not the same water, because obviously the water is incessantly moving ahead. Is that called the bracha batala? I made a bracha on one, shall we say, stream of water, and now when the time comes to something I make with a lot of kavana, it's even worse. So then, when the stream of water comes to my mouth, it's a different stream of water. Is that called the bracha batala? Very famous discussion also in the Rishonim. Anyway, so Rabbi Pesach Frank, who's the Rabbi Yerushalayim, says Yesh La'ayin b'chiyala adash ain't tzarich lomar baruch shem al kol bracha batala. What's the chiddush of the Yerushalmi? Alo bara milo. Of course you say Baruch Shem. Of course it's a Baruch Matala. So what exactly is the thesis being mechadish to us by citing to us this Yerushalmi? So then he goes on, and essentially, I'm now in the left-hand column, he cites a ritva, which is a chiddush mufla. It may be the most famous ritva in all Maseches Chulin. I don't know all the ritvas in Chulin, but I know many of them. And this mitzvah is very, very well known. Mitzvah presents a tremendous chiddush. I'll say it outright, then I'll read it inside. Mitzvah claims that a bracha cannot become a bracha matala l'mafreya. Is I made the bracha. I had all the right intentions to eat the food item. And unfortunately, through some unforeseen divine act, the ochel falls to the ground, the ochel is bakulko, and the like, and I am no longer able to have that bracha chal, or have hanor from the item that I want to have hanor from. So he says, as long as the person made a bracha with the proper kavana, says the Ritva, whatever happens afterwards is irrelevant. It doesn't make a difference. And the bracha is not a batala. Even if the food item falls on the floor, food item is now mekulko, no longer edible. And the Ritva is the one essentially who's the source of this chiddush, because the Ritva argues over here that a person who wants to eat bread and he washes his hands, as is the wont to do, the tias yadayim, prior to lechem, makes a bracha of the tias yadayim, and then he decides, no, I'm not hungry for bread. After he made the bracha of the tias yadayim, after he had in mind to wash, the Ritva passes the halacha, the bracha is not called the bracha of the batala. Why? My kavana b'shas bracha was a kavana haguna. My intention was to make a bracha. I plan on making havotzi, eating bread. Now I decide after the bracha, that's what I want to do. The mafreya, it's not considered to be a bracha batala. Just read the language of the Ritva. I underline part of it. Ratzisi lomar, pi mashukasa Ritva kulan, demi sheber hamtzias yadayim, einu mechuyu lechol dafka. The men are rotze ol lechol, he doesn't want to eat any further. Einu ochel, lave bracha batala. The b'shas ha-bracha kidin asa. When he made the bracha, he was acting appropriately. That was the takon of Chazal. He didn't undo that which he did. And he goes on to bring a number of rayos. Well, he's not eating any bread. He's just Chazal was talking before Hamotzi, Abraham Hatzias Yadayim. So he's arguing, as far as that bracha is concerned, you wash your hands, and now you made Hatzias Yadayim. So that's not Abraham Hatzolah. But he's going to extend this to the issue that we're talking about. And the question is that extrapolation correct? Offhand, if you would ask my personal opinion, I wouldn't even have a habamina. He's totally wrong. Not even a habamina. That is not correct. I don't understand the entire issue. What's the habamina? And the bracha of atol and delim izoyis. A bracha has to be chal on something. Whether it's a bichas mitzvah, whether it's a shevach v'hodo. And I would say, in hanid on domo l'raya. That's perhaps what you're arguing, Philip. That maybe the bracha on tias yadayim, that bracha could be chal. And I was not to your time. And I made a bracha on tias yadayim. How do you extrapolate from there to a situation of an ochel, a brichas hanenin, that I made the bracha, let's say, bar pi eitz, or bar pi adama, whatever the nature of the bracha. That's exactly what you're arguing correctly. And many achreinim achelik on this psak. The psak seems to be especially in light of the fact that the shita of Amma, that the bracha of Atol is an isa daraisa. We spoke about this already in one of the earlier shurim on brachas. We discussed in Chayodam, the Chilka Deus, what the status of bracha batola is. But assuming that a bracha batola is a isa daraisa, we have here a bracha batola daraisa. What's the issue? How is this ritva relevant to the nidon nidan? I'm just posing the question. You can respond if you wish. Feel free. The fi'ani was 90. Ain't ha nidan done with a raya b'chlal v'chlal. So, and I've been asked, but Ratzi Pesach Frank is a goyin adir and the Rabbi Yerushalayim. So the Ritva again somehow feels that one can somehow go ahead and extrapolate from this halacha and the tias yadayim to the din of bracha in general, shah brachos.
And by the tias yadayim, everyone agrees with this Ritva?
Yes. The pashtun says everyone agrees with the Ritva because the bracha is al tias yadayim, the kachasisi. I wash my hands. I made the bracha. Whatever the nature of this bracha, that also needs attention. What the nature is made, it's totally on that. Maybe that's what you're arguing.
Well, but I understand why you think it's such a big extrapolation.
Because, again, in the case of the Al Netzias Yadayim, the bracha was the bracha haguna. The bracha was the bracha that was fitting, that clearly fit the bill.
If I'm holding an apple in my hand and I say, Lori Priya Eitz, it's also a fitting bracha.
Okay, obviously that is what Rav Zipa is in fact arguing. I think it's a difficult argument. Okay, yesh makom nachlok. I can, if you don't mind, we call it on you. Regarding this matter, and he obviously is called Gani as well. But it seems that the Eina need no more. I don't see the, again, the point of the bracha is to eat the Priya Eitz, is to eat the Priya Adama, is to eat the, to make a Motsi Lechem and Aretz. Let's assume we're talking about the bracha of Motsi Lechem and Aretz. Let's not talk about Tzitzit Dayim. I made the bracha of Motsi Lechem and Aretz, and I didn't eat the bread. I decided not to eat bread. Now, you might argue there also. You're not saying something which is Sheker. You're saying Hashem is Motsi Lechem and Aretz. You're engaged in the Shach, Vodav, that's what you're arguing. And therefore, that's not necessarily a Bagla Batola. But again, as I said, this is the subject of a lot of machlokis among the Gdolei Achronim, and many actually do not agree with the Psak of the Har Tzvi of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank with reference to this matter. Now, you'll see momentarily that the Poskim, if you're looking further now, actually, on page number 2, you can actually see the Ritva. Let's take a look at the Ritva for a moment. The Ritva actually has another famous Yasin Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ahulun Omerav, not to all the Yad Meshachi Sumasne." A person can go ahead. By the way, this is very relevant to Kohanim and the general Rambam passes the halacha like this. You can make it tonight. I mean, the issue, let's say, just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Rabbi Soloveitchik was very, very makbid not to move in Shemoneh Esrei. He kept his feet together, not just in the Sound Shemoneh Esrei, but Chazor HaShas as well. He held, I do the same, been doing it my whole life. He held that Chazor HaShas is a key of what is called, the Rambam has two Lashonos, Tfilah Bitzibur and Tfilah Satzibur. Tfilah Bitzibur means 1,000 of us diving together as Yechidim, but diving as individuals. Tfilah Satzibur is one individual represents the Natsig of the entire Tzibur to be Motzi, a Rabbi Nechalosim. The Gemara has the end of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara explains that Lotzi Mishin Abaki. In fact, the Rambam writes in one of his Tshuvas, there's really no need for Chazor HaShas. We're all Bekiyim. So therefore, the whole thing is, but why do we do it? No clue. Once we started, so we continue on our merry way as far as Chazor HaShas. So now, a person can go ahead to Rabbi Soloveitchik because he was makbid not to move his feet in Shemoneh Esrei, Chazor HaShas. He held Zedin Shemoneh Esrei. He didn't answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo in Chazor HaShas. He held a Hefsek. That's the Minhag Agro. The Vilna Gaon. I actually don't do that. I don't follow all Minhag Agro. But I also hold this Minhag is not a good Minhag for a Rav to do because they see the Rav does answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. They want to answer Amen. And essentially, who knows what they're going to end up doing. This was told to me by several Gedolei Olam. They told me I should not follow that practice. So I don't. Now, so basically, was makbid not to answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. Get the feet together. So now the question is on Yom Tov, he is a Levi. He has to wash the hands of the Kohanim. He has to, shall we say, move and sometimes even leave the Beis HaKnesses to go outside where the Kiyor Mekano is, Pasha Kisisa, where the labor is and the light. He's not moving anyway. He's not going anywhere. Unless he's the only Levi. And he has to wash the Kohanim's hands. So he compelled the Kohanim to come before davening. And he died very early. He was worried about not just creation of the grub, but the Magen Avraham. He was makbid at everything. And then they have come at 7 o'clock in the morning on Yom Tov in order that he should wash their hands. So I would, if I'd been I would be honored to have the Gadol Hador wash my hands. I'd be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. But not everyone thinks the way I do. And sometimes siesta hour is more significant than having the Gadol Hador wash your hands. Whatever the case is, so they came early, and then he didn't move. And then they were told this halacha. Make sure you're not metameh your hands in any shape, manner, or form. Maybe 2 hours till the Birchas Kohanim. Don't forget, then Birchas Kohanim was only in Musaf, and not in Shachris. So we're talking about, it could be several hours. And they said, piyutim. Unlike us, we don't say piyutim, we don't say anything. We barely daven. The kids are, so the... So they had to wait that to make sure. So that's indeed that the Ritva was commenting on. And that's halacha. It's called in Shulchan Aruch, actually. Don't be metameh your hands. Don't be metaneif them. And there should be hesach hadas. That's what the Ritva goes on. It quotes from Mishonim. And we're not worried about, even though there's quite a period of time, almost, I would say, interminable period of time that passes. But because of the halacha is that even though the Gemara says tekev and the tila suda, it's another one of the tekevs. The Gemara has a brachas tekev. A whole bunch of tekevs has to be immediacy, juxtaposition in terms of time. And one of the juxtapositions is this halacha. So the Ritva points out, no, that's talking about where there was no tonight. But where there's a tonight, then this halacha is applicable. A person can wash his hand, be master of kol hayom. And now he goes on and goes through a sugya in Pesachim, which I'm not going to discuss right now. But what's relevant to us is on the next page, page number three. At the top of page number three, on the second line, I put a check there. He did try to not eat. So, it's like the fellow with the guy's about to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. Someone comes to him and threatens him, etc. Gimel Averus. And then after he makes the bracha to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, the guy decides, I'm not going to do it. What's going on over here? So it says the Ritva, in this situation, you're not going to go and eat. Why? The Natila was completed. Now notice he stressed. Not al Yodam. Stephen, that's why I have an issue. He's talking about the Tirs Yodayim, which he did. He carried out the Mitzvah Tirs Yodayim. But he was talking about a bracha, Birchas HaNenin, and lechem, and fruit, whatever he's going to eat, vegetables. And he did not eat the vegetable, did not eat the fruit, did not eat the lechem. How do you extrapolate one to the other? The pashas ain't not eating the lechem. There's no analogy whatsoever.
But the bracha is indeed the pshat in the rifa is that if you would ask a shayla, say I want to eat this apple now. I ask a rabbi, am I supposed to make a bracha? He says yes, you're supposed to make a bracha, and I make a bracha. So I did what I was supposed to do. Now something happened afterward. He can't become a bracha batal. That's why not. Because you made a bracha in a situation where Chazal said you're supposed to make a bracha.
My issue is the example that he gave. The Tilas Yadayim.
I understand that. But that's obviously not what the Ritva himself extended. So obviously that's not what he means, right?
Said, anyway, this is clear that there's a machlokes aposkim regarding this matter. And so when many suggest on page number four.
The bracha on Kiddush Hashem.
What was that?
Game story of Kiddush Hashem.
I just gave the story.
So,
okay, but say also Shver Maaseh. But anyway, if you look on page number four, and there are a number of areas in Halacha where this particular issue is relevant to, and these Achronim already have a field day with this. So, if there's, let's say, a bit of that Ochel that's still going Lachila, the entire thing did not fall on the ground. Or it's not completely Makoto. You know, you won't believe what I got the last 2 days. Many people receive Shalach Manas. And many of them get Chumas. Chumas tends to spoil very quickly. 4 people called me up. Now, why do they call me? Why do they have to call a Rav? And they asked me, was the fellow Makai in the midst of Shalach Manas? Because he sent me Chumas Makoto. 4 people called me up the last 2 days. I said to myself, what in heaven's name is going on? Why am I the address for this shayla? And the answer, of course, you might argue that maybe this is totally on the Hakira, what the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Yishuv is. Is it based on the Nos HaLevi, or is it based on the Trumas HaDeshen? Namely, is the idea that the person should be Marbe, Abba, V'Yachma, V'Shalom Bereus. So one of them told me, I don't think he was Marbe too much, Abba, V'Yachma, V'Shalom Bereus. He wanted me to eat Chumas that was Makulkal. Because they say, well, he's trying to poison me. Kach
Wama,
that's
must be the same person.
It could very well be. I don't know. Well, no, that's not the time for Mishloach Manos. There's a deal of Mishloach Manos. I don't know the Abba Yashav Reyes. Mishloach Manos is, according to the Rambam, it's a key in the Suda. That's very clear in the Rambam. So obviously, this fellow did not have it in his Suda. I said, that's what you should have done. You should have beaten it right away in your Suda. He says, Rabbi, you know how many Mishloach Manos of Chumas I got? I have enough to open up a chumash store. That's what he told me. One of them, anyway, somehow they feel the need to somehow, to vent their spleen. And I become the recipient, the address for the venting of their spleen. Anyway, so on page 4, there's a very famous issue. And this issue is also relevant to what I just mentioned to you. As long as there's still a bit of mafal, that's oil achila, so then let him eat that chelik of the ochel. And then the bracha will be chal. And then you won't have this issue. You don't prevent the bracha batola. And of course, we're assuming that the ochel is still not completely lo nimas. I even asked these 4 people. What? It was so cool call. So they said, Rabbi Rosh Hashiva, one of them called me, he knows me as Rosh Hashiva. So he told me, he said, you really don't have much expertise. He told me, in Chumas, I don't claim to have any in different levels of kill call. But Rabbi Tachumas, he told me there are three levels of kilkul. Wow, such a lamdan. Anyway, but so perhaps I told him, maybe now that you're telling me that, maybe it's only level number two, not level number three. So it's called somewhat royal achila. Maybe you can still make a bracha. It wouldn't be a problem. Now, the halacha is in general, if I have a food item that's repugnant completely and totally repugnant to me, so what's the din? The pashas of the halacha in May where it will be awesome in our Torah to eat. Something which is, I guess, in Shabbos terms, you would call it muksa machanias. So if something is muksa machanias, so it could be, it's awesome. In our Torah, there is actually, I don't think I take a look in the Shari Chub over here.
It's nazir.
Okay, that we're discussing the sugi brachas. That's what Rabbi Weiss referred to, right? Imam al-Hemabes. It speaks about that. By the way, there it speaks about eating person. What bracha do you make when you have shemen on the rocks? Can I use such an expression? Where you're eating shemen, let's say a bottle of oil. Matter of fact, that machon zirushenim, what's the pshat? That the Gemara says you're potter, because you're masik. It says you're chalta, mesabota, merachta. And that's something that's going to lead to some sort of hesik. Others claim that the hezek is not in the person's goof, but the hezek is in the eichel. Hezek is in the eichel itself. That may achreinim call that halacha. But what's relevant here? Look at the shari tshuva. The shari tshuva, the top kuf samaches. There's another shari tshuva as well. Again, that as I said, he writes. He's talking here. We're talking about person is fasting, and then suddenly you forgot that it's a tightness, and you ate. That's not unusual. It does happen. So here, this is going on the Mechaber in Adam. Okay, so that's an issue with the Ma'avi the Titus. Did you lose the Titus? That's a Mechaber Paskin. So the Shari Tshuva quotes, I'm reading the Father and the Lord. He writes the quotes of Birka Yosef, he don't. B'shem Nechma Vakesed, Misha Yeshoi B'Titus, B'Shocha, B'Locha, Yisamachol, U'Berach Alav, Nisga B'Yad Titus, Yochal Pachal B'Kazayis, B'Nei Abrocha, Lassos Kein. But our tightness, you're still not considered to be violating the tightness, as long as you can eat something that still remains, that's still right, lachila, less than gezayis, and the halacha is the tightness is still over. Now, this is another discussion because the Gemara says in bracha is also dafidalit, mat emes and tuna bracha. Especially at what point do you require a bracha? Te'ima. To amel chaim zochu. Everyone follows this magen avraham. Avraham says that on Erev Shabbos, you have to taste of all the luscious food items that are being prepared in your home, and the cholents and the kugels and what have you. I'm very makbid and kind that mitzvah. To amel chayim zochu. Now, it says mat emes, what's called te'ima. This te'ima is also nogea to the issue of those who learned in yeshivas where they have a practice of eating potkiya shofar, which Rav Soloveitchik was vehemently and violently opposed to. It's a mishnah. They forgot a mishnah in Sukkah. The mishnah is not supposed to eat some chavish b'lach. Not supposed to eat before Kiyam HaMitzvah, Kiyam HaMitzvah, I said, but Tzlach, the beginning of Brachas, raised this question on the first Mishnah. Name is Sakhar, the Shema, the Ari, the Shosh, the Akkad, the Chlosim, the Lechav, the Tumasa, the Shema, the Shema, so Tzlach, the Hakira, what's the issue of eating before the Zman of Mitzvah comes? Is the issue that you're not supposed to do it Dvar Rishus before Dvar Mitzvah? Or is the issue Shema Yishkach, you might come to begin, and after Mina, you'll point to Shomer. That's the only what's accepted. But here, eating before Tkiyah Shefa, Rav Soloveitchik said over, from Rav Henkin, he heard from Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, Rav Eliezer, Rav Henkin told Rabban Kotler, "Asidim ha'yeshiva sli tenes adin al zeh." This is quoted by Henkin's great grandson, your Eitan Henkin, the Chazal Deroch Hashem Kedomba. He quotes this talk of his great grandfather.
Used to call up Rabban.
Correct. That's right. That's a correct statement. Every single year, to remind you what Rav Henkin said. Now, Rav Aaron, they dive in the Lakewood till Musaf, the 4:30, 5 o'clock. Rav said, who asked them to dive in so long? Why don't they dive in normally? They would dive in normally, they would violate the Salah of the Chabad. He held it's a Chabad, it's a Mishnah. You can't eat before you do a Mitzvah. Mitzvah Isa, talking about Mitzvah Seir Shofar. So, what they do is, I once heard from going of Amital Zatzal. So I discussed it with him. But that's what they did in the Shiva over there as well. So he said they only did Te'ima. Now the question, what's called Te'ima? I said, Gebeza. I was not going to say, trust me, I've been to a number of Yeshivas. Wow. I wouldn't exactly call it Te'ima. I would say it's Kesuda Shalom B'Shaita. That's what they had actually. And a major Kiddush prior to Tkiyah Shofar. I didn't eat anything. I dabbled in yeshiva where there was such a practice. It also dabbled till 4 o'clock. I fasted till 4 o'clock. I didn't fast, not sure. You know, I fasted numpted. I had tea in the morning, took care of my problem, drank some water, had some tea, did not fast on Yom Tov. It's also Issa the Issa. Fast on Yom Tov. I do the same thing on Shabbos morning, except I allow myself some coffee. I hope you don't mind. And the Mishabura said, with sugar, it's not a violation of Al Tefal Adam, the certain punishes Baal Al Dimchem, or not a violation of the Geus. That's considered to be an act of Gaiva. And the person does that. Gemara has two opinions. Gemara Brachis, that Gemara calls number one, the Lav. The circle of Adam is a lot of Shabbat. And we're also close that this idea of Gaiva. But the Mishabura said today, trust me, it's no Gaiva today. You have a little sugar in the coffee, milk in the coffee. It's probably no Gaiva if you go way beyond that as well. It's a different door. It's a totally different door than the door that that I grew up in. Anyways, here the Shabbat Shuba quotes this halacha, eat less than gizayis. Make sure you have, he claims, an non-violation of the tainis. You continue. But it says, the Abbas Kedish, Gimgim Bazer, Vein Vorot Nireh. It quotes the Marish Gar Maisa, Yesh Lassos Gain, Ayin Shom, and then he asks the Kashi about the Dalot Somos, and then he goes on to go to Priyaris. These people had the Abikias in Achreinim, and Rishreinim was just absolutely wondrous, absolutely beyond belief. Okay, so basically the Eitzah to avoid this problem, I assume that there's a little bit that's left, there's a little bit of the apple, you made a bracha, Baruch Hu Eitz, and now it falls to the ground. Maybe there's one part of it that's still upside, not upside down, but arranged properly. You can take a bit of the apple and eat it. This way you're not be involved in any kind of bracha. I told her perhaps even take another apple and make the original bracha effective in the second apple, which is also the subject of a lot of discussion. But as long as the second apple is there, no problem. No question about it. You can make a bracha on the second apple as well. It's not considered to be a bracha batol. So this option, of course, is only going to work if, in effect, we're talking about where the kavana of the mevarech was in order to cover, as I said, even the new tapuach. As I said, if it's in front of you, so you can assume that that's your intention. And that's what you look on the Stechemet on page number 5. The Stechemet of Chaim Chizkiya Bedini, it's interesting that Rav Shlomo Fisher, the Chassan de Bracha, when I was in Yitzhak, he told me that the greatest Baki since the days of the Stechemet was Rav Avadya. He was the biggest Baki since the Stechemet. That's what Rav Avadya says. Kashamati of Shlomo Fisher, and he himself was no slouch. He knew Kala Torah Kula by heart. Bob Yerushalmi, I remember once I started up with the Chazon Ish, and so he knew the entire Chazon Ish. The entire Chazon Ish, he knew Baal Peh of Shlomo Fisher. But he said, I'm really not such a mumtah Chazon Ish. Go to my brother, the Dayan. He really goes to Chazon Ish much better than I did. Don't worry, I started up with the Dayan too while I was at it. And I used to go to hear him all the time. And so the Dayan was, we could quote the Chazon Ish, Mila b'mila. These guys had phenomenal memories. You just cannot imagine. Anyway, so the Stechemet brings here, take a look in the Aparag on the line. He writes over here as well that in Berach al-Khatich has-Basar, v'yad shalorachal niska shu yomim she'enochal basar. Gives you another example. It's a tainis, or it's a day I can't eat meat. Let's say it's during the 9 days. And you're an Ashkenazi, you're machmir. And then you started, you made a bracha on a piece of meat that you planned on eating. Then you realize, oh, I can only eat in the 9 days. It's not a Shulas Mitzvah, nothing of that sort. So if he eats, he's going to be over in the middle. He gives you a very balabatish suggestion. Let him eat a little bit of the meat. If you just eat a kolshu, and that's the halacha. The halacha is talanim. I don't want to say, but like bracha, even a mashu. In order to make a bracha achreina, we should have pointed out you need a shiur. Be'achalta, be'sabata, be'achta. But for bracha rishona, there's no need for a shiur. Even a mashu already is a mechayim of a bracha rishona. So have a bit of the basar. You're not violating the meaning of not eating meat during the 9 days. And also, as he said, there's no simcha in a mashu of basar. And that would also not be a violation. Then it goes on. Discussing the person takes a neder, you take on the part of the other line. Shalalecha, shayilma perkechad. Vishacha goberach, veniska kodem shacha. Person takes a neder, I'm not going to eat till I learn a certain perk. I remember once that Rav Soloveitchik said he took a neder to finish, and we were learning at that time the first perk of Chulin. And you had taken a neder that day, you're going to finish the first paragraph. Do you know how long that shiur was? The shiur went on the entire day. Went on from early in the morning till shkia, we daven mincha, and then we continued the shiur. He didn't eat anything till we finished the paragraph. Didn't drink anything, didn't eat anything till we finished the paragraph. So if you had that situation, and you made a bracha, so now what do you do? So he said, no, to mass yourself, bracha v'atova, without Rav Nidro, he quotes again many, many achreinim that again, the suggestion that he made earlier would be able to basically take care of the problem, have a bit, and once you have a little bit, so then you're not in violation of any of this. Now this also, you can see on page number 6 also, I saw another Stechemet, and he's discussing again the issue of waiting, the number of hours, and that's not my topic of discussion. When I arrived at the following scene, namely, I enter the world of chinuch. I discovered that very few people keep 6 hours. Why? They were born in Holland? I don't know, New Zealand. What do they do in New Zealand? I'm not sure what the practice is. They wait 6 hours?
I think it's 3.
3 hours. Okay, so there you have the practice. Holland, Germany, 1 hour, 3 hours. These are guys who are neither German, nor they don't wear wooden shoes. They're not from Holland. Nothing to do with anything. They have all kinds of shittas.
Is that 5+?
5+ already, a rov, the Rambam says, a rov of Sheshals. I think a rov of Sheshals would be 531, as far as I know.
Right, so I grew up with 5+. Where's that from? You know, into the 6.
There's no marker for it.
No marker for
it? We're talking marker. It's, again, the portent that people enjoy. They want to eat whatever they want to eat. They want to eat milchiks. They want to eat, they see a beautiful ice cream. And if 5 is not sufficient, then they'll turn it to 4, and turn it to 3, and to 2, and to 1.
So what's 531? By the way, it's
a robe. It's based on the robe. It's Shesh Shos. That's a Rambam. Kirob, Shesh Shos. Kishesh Shos. Kishesh Shos. But this is our famous discussion in Gemara Kula. The truth is, Mikra Din, there's no need to wait all these hours. That's Pashim. Ashur Gemara, Mesuda Lesuda, and it could be one after the next. Okay, that's a whole city in Kula anyway. But anyway, this is the issue that he talks about here. On page number 6. He ate meat, and then 4 hours passed, and it's a winter, and nightfall comes quickly, and then he decides to make a bracha on cheese. He's allowed to have a little bit, but it shouldn't be a bracha batala. It's not such a massive chiddush. So the das of Yichodesh was Sachar Sagi Vidal Shos. Wow. Yeah, there are other Eitzes. It's not the only Eitzes. But I'm using this Eitzes that I spoke about before. And he says, Dim ha'achorim she'aligo ha'misha rasa l'sok ha'pichodash v'nido nidon kuliyam ramodru v'odat shemi ha'bacha batola. And again, he quotes in Kedarko many, many gdoli achronim. Basically, they want to keep a person from baking a bracha l'batola. That's something, and again, this 4 hours, as I said, is not necessarily, we're not talking about the Dindar Raisa, we're talking about different hobbies that people have. Okay, the best tshuva on the topic, as usual, the Nagav HaKodesh, is on page number 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and I really have to Xerox anything else. I could have just done the Chavadas, Rav Avadya Zatzal. There's nothing he doesn't quote here. We'll just get to some of the major items, and then I just want to say a few things about my father Zatzal. So he's talking about Misha Achal Basar Shalpidin. He says very clearly, you have to wait 6 hours, I'll be dead. But after an hour, he forgets and makes a bracha machol echol. I counted this call, I have a laila, in the story of my entire life in Chinuch, came out half a century, that young men who come from, quote unquote, not the background that all you come from, you see a beautiful ice cream in front of you.
Immediate
gratification. I'm not judgmental. Listen, I also enjoy good ice cream once in a while. And so, but I wait 6 hours. That's the difference. Okay, whatever the case is, they can't do it. So now the question is, can I return something? Well, it shouldn't be a bracha batala. So he starts with the Gemara Kulin. And the Gemara said, Mesuda Lesuda.
The Gemara
that
goes to pay. You can't just forget that they don't keep it in mind. It's a sheep thing. I can't do it. So
I won't answer the question. You heard me correctly. They're young men. What's the problem? Why do you want to kill me, Rabbi? That's basically what they told me. Don't kill me. You don't want me to enjoy life. What's with you, Rabbi Weiss?
Nobody will put the damn fuckish over there.
He's from a different planet. Completely different planet. I don't know where you come from. Even I've chilled out.
Yeah.
But not chilled out to the point, well, he dies before 6 hours. No, no. That's not going to happen. Not that chilled out. Anyway, so he quotes here first Mesudah and Suda, and then he quotes a Rambam that you have to wait. Kimo Sheshon. So I'm finding that's what I'm referring to, that Rambam. And then he quotes a Balaita and many other Mishonah, that's the Minog. But then he quotes Taisa Chum, a famous Taisa, it's also reflected in Shulchan Aruch, that Afil Alter, Kevin Shasir, Kashulchan, there is such a day. We don't pass a halacha like that. But Mikra Adin, you actually can have a milk gemil right after the flesh gemil is over, you bench, and now you essentially you separated from that first meal. And he quotes many Mishonah who pass a halacha like that, and Chachmit Sarfas and Abrona were very meko regarding this matter. And he quotes, but the Shulchanach paskins like the Rif and the Amim and the Rosh, you have to wait 6 hours in Basil Kol. Now the Ramah says that the minhag poshri is shoachas, the famous Ramah. Shoachas be basil gmina, and he quotes other achronim. Again, if someone is a cholek tzas, I mean, usually we're not machmir regarding young children at all. There we could hold the ikra adin, or regarding someone who's sickly, a person who's in need, or whatever particular food item is necessary, and that's what he quotes here at the bottom. But and then he goes further, and then he writes the last 5 lines on this page 7. Well, the fees are near it. That's the Shi'as of Rambam. It's an Issa Daraisa. And he quotes the Gemara of Sisa, Hashem Hashem of Gemara Hashem, Gemara of Gimel, and that's how Shulchan Aruch passes. Therefore, it's better to eat a bit of Machol Echolok and a Shotia and Machasa Lavatola. And that's what he goes on page number 8. There are many Rishonim who held that the Machol Lavatola is on Issa Daraisa, because that's not the Alma. So therefore, the Issa is not so clear. Machol is a Rishonim. Issa Machol Vatola may be Minatora, but also may be the Rabbanon. And therefore, better to be telling something in order that Rosh Hashanah be a Machol Vatola. So Rav Ovadia justifies this practice that we mentioned. And the same thing also applies as well regarding, let's say, a person decided you're not allowed to be torn before Abdullah. People ask me this question, also young people. Mer says, Tom, that was a whole sugi in Abim Sochi. Tom, Abdil, Tom, Inum Abdil. We passing Tom, Inum Abdil. You can't be torn before Abdullah. But again, people often forget. And they start eating and making a motzi before Abdullah. Or again, Rabbi Weiss again, the Mechila, I don't mean to, you're not teaching these types of people. You're basically, you hang out at Me'er Shorim, or you hang out at Bnei Brak, or in Rabbah Beit Shemesh, with all the people here. But I don't hang out with those types. And I hang out with other types, because I want to be the kind of them, so. Anyway, so this also, the Easter Tima before Abdullah, again, the Issa Racham Atola is much more chamor than all these other Issa. That's what Rav Avadi makes all these cheshbonos. Then it goes further.
Is it a factor if you were learning something and now you just didn't do it now? So we're going to rely on this, we're going to find the answer. But what about the fact that you were learning something, even about another type also has a
minhag? Yeah, but a minhag that's not based on Pi Halacha, I mean, the time that's based on Adam Babasa. Minhag, Oisios Gehen. Yeah, I mean, we're talking that, no basis.
And those are
something
that has a basis.
What was that?
Maybe you don't have to. But
okay, okay, I'm just indicating. He goes into a whole discussion. This is a famous Mahomes of Rishonim as well. That whether do you make a bracha when you're about to eat something that's awesome? A guy, this I encounter all the time. They're not so makpid to look for Ashkocha. So they eat something. And then you discover that was an Ashkocha. Now they have no Ashkocha. Maybe they have no Ashkocha on an item that's parav. Parav, I don't mean only parav in the sense of halavim, sorry, but parav is not really involvement with Isurim here, but they eat sometimes things that are, and that's what they're accustomed to do, because in their home, they didn't really see diktuk and kashrus and the like. And so now the question is, first of all, do you make a bracha? I'm a whole sasura. So I'm a whole Ram Ravid. Famous, I'm a whole Ram Ravid. What?
Is it good, Sam David?
Yes, that's the Shita Saham is based on that Gemara. And the Rabbi says, no, you make a bracha, she can't end it. The Mechayev of Berachas HaNen is Hano. Yarano, therefore even Rechol Chasuris. Yarano. We pass out the Rambam as we've indicated, but say a bracha is Hashem. But again, the question is, let's say a person eats an Yom Kippur, Makom Sakona. Do you make a bracha? Do you not make a bracha? Of course, the halacha is that because the machu inside itself is mutar. Because the problem is that it's the Zman, the Yom Kippur, that asks, but the machu itself is not Machol Chasuris. So he goes on here, Rav Avadya, on page number 9, and then he wants to totally this on the Machok the Ram and the Rabbi, what I just mentioned a moment ago. And yeah, we'll kind of speak to us as you indicated. And then he quotes on page number 10, a story from Adon Aram Al-Kalai, and the same is Zachary Aram, B'mea Chorev, person named Basa, B'Rab Rabba Shah, Shachachli, B'Rafna Al-Mina, what we saw mentioned earlier. So again, he finds the Machok, General Rabbi Vadya, Kayakua, was a massive Makel Sheikh Kamal, Man of Nos Kalata Akula, Kavach the Terev Adif, and that's basically how he more or less takes the entire Tshuva all the way to the end. And therefore, we are worried about Bachel Batola, perhaps more so than we're worried about other things. I'll just mention one last thing on 13 and 14 of this handout. You see, I didn't know the Shabbos, which I know. A person forgets to make Kiddush until after he made Hamotzi. Then he realized that he made Hamotzi that I didn't make Kiddush. So the halacha is Mikdash on a pass. Anybody here? Yakis, we have any Yakis here? Oh, Rabbi Feinberg. You're married to a Yaki, no. But you make Kiddush on a pass? No. What?
I'm not
Yakin.
They
don't make Kiddush
on a pass, they wash.
The person made Hamalsi, obviously he washed, and he realized he didn't make Kiddush, so then the halacha makes Kiddush on a pass and eats the bread. That's what the Ramah passes the halacha. The Ramah Chaber says that that's the meaning of Yakis. They have Chatzilah, of course, they haven't do everything before the Kiddush, they wash, and then they make Kiddush, and then they make Hamotzi, and there's no hashtag. Actually, it's
a my brother in law, who's the grandson of Rav Henkin.
That's what he does.
That was Rav Henkin's
name. That was, yeah, Rav Henkin actually also, oh boy, there's a lot to say about Rav Henkin. I can't speak in the presence of the Rabbi, who's an expert in Rav Henkin more than I am. Even though I read the entire book, the one that you gave me, I read it actually 3 times already. And also now I'm reading carefully. That you didn't give me, but I got a hold of it. I learned he gave it to me. He got a hold of it. Several volumes of Shabbat. I went to every single soccer of that kid. Fascinating. Poshut. He was very original. Wow. Mechudosh beyond Mechudosh. Okay, so as you're saying, so who does it? Who follows that practice?
My brother in law is the best name is Henkin.
Oh, so he's a Henkin.
He's Rob Henkin's grandson.
Okay,
so Henkin's youngest son. Okay. This is his youngest.
Understandable. Henkin has psokim that are poshut, completely out of the box. I can say Hoshi and that big one, they believe that I will. Fascinating, but his the great grandson of Eitan Henkin, that's how Shevin Kumdama really did a job over there. Yeah, those lines you have also, I still remember, but I'm sure that they're very fascinating. Could I
grew up about this meaning also, a special piece somewhere
else. Elsewhere. That I didn't see, maybe you'll have to produce it for me. What? There is Kisvei Ari involved over here. He followed actually a lot of Rav Soloveitchik also. Rav Soloveitchik always said, Sim Shalom. Every Shmoneh Esrei. Where did that come from? That's an Ari business. How could he suddenly deviate from the Ashkenazic practice and just follow the Ari and say Sim Shalom on every tefillah? Okay, that's what he was doing. He also had a lot of very, very out of the box of minhagim, which also needs another shir for a discussion to explain many of his minhagim. Okay, I just want to say, since it's the yahrzeit of my father, as I just mentioned, one or two things about my father, Zvi Rocham. My father actually never attended the yeshiva a day in his life, neither did my mother, but they were very medactic in this sense. They got it actually from my grandfather, who was also very medactic. And on my mother's side, my mother actually comes, my grandmother comes from Vilna. It's a mixed kind of marriage. My grandfather was one of the Chachmei Salonika from Greece. And didn't speak a word of English. I spoke Greek. It was all Greek to me. He also spoke Latino, and he also spoke Hebrew. And my father actually spoke 7 languages. My father spoke Spanish. He picked that up in the streets of La Ciudad in Nueva York. And then my father also spoke German. He learned on his own. My father spoke Latin. My father spoke Greek. My father spoke Hebrew. My father spoke English. My father wrote poetry in all these languages. We have volumes of poetry. My father won several prizes for poetry. My father was very into education, And he was not into, I attended a certain university. I won't mention the name of it. Spoke about it this morning. And one of those where I went, I think more or less, and I was accepted to another university, and I was accepted to another high school, Bronx High School of Science. That's where my father wanted me to go, because he felt that was a high school of stature, of academic significance and quality, as opposed to the other high school that I went to. I interviewed, actually, there you saw the rudiments itself, but at the end, Abba Bansfield, as I decided, the Rachel just passed away, was instrumental. We were very close to him, of Shiva Wayu, that he made a pshara, ended up going to MTA, Yeshiva University High School, and then I was accepted to Columbia University on a full scholarship. My father thought I should go there as well. My father's a Cooper Union man. They didn't subscribe to anything less than academic excellence at the top of the line. His areas were physics, engineering, and math. But also, my mother, Hashem, was worried I wouldn't be from. All my friends who went to that university are not from. That's a correct statement. Some of them, even the children intermarried. I had connections still with one or two of them. It's amazing. This is decades and decades later. I was very friendly with them. I grew up with them. So I ended up going to YU, but my father refused to pay a shekel, a penny, a nickel, nothing. Because you don't go to a university that has no academic significance to it and no quality to it. So I ended up, there was something called the Regents Scholarship in my days. You took Regents Scholarships in all these areas in math and science and chemistry and physics and what have you, quantum mechanics and world history, and I got 100 all of them, and I ended up paying my college education, except for $7,000-$8,000 of registration of books. That's what it cost me. And but it probably saved my life, I would imagine, my Jewish life. But that was my father. My father, though, was very frugal, very medakti b'mitzvos. My father davened in the morning, an hour and 15 minute shacharis, word for word. My father and mother used to eat bread every meal. They were never on diets. I've been perpetually on a diet my whole life. Anyway, so my father was never on a diet. They benched with singing. Every Birchas HaMazon was sung for 15 minutes. I davened shacharis in 15 minutes. And they benched in 15 minutes. My father was a Yirei Shamayim. A Maimin Bashem, unbelievable emunah. Tiktuk b'mitzvah, kalak v'chavura. Respect for Rabbanim. The Achaz, my father, to come to shul a half hour earlier, because I had to come to shul a half hour earlier as well, against my better judgment and wishes, but okay, I had no choice. It was Kevin HaSachero, right side, it was a different door. It was not a door that they didn't play around with the children. It was Marine Sergeant at work all the way, and that's how my father operated, that's how he handled us, that's how we were raised. I'm the middle child, so I was, of course, a classic rebel. All of my brothers are in order, they follow the line. I wasn't exactly along those lines. My father decided I should become a Balkari at 13. So my father, I was enlisted to be a Balkari in two shuls. 5 miles I walked for Shabbos, 5 miles, and received $2.50 in each shul, sach hakol $5 for laning in two shuls. My father thought it was an outstanding remuneration, because the key was laning. The money was nothing. The money was basically echatimtza. They had to give me a little bit of incentive. I didn't give me much of an incentive. I laned the entire Sefer Dvarim in the summertime in Rabbi Jacob Bolka Shul. If I don't know Rabbi Bolka, but how do I know? How do I remember him? When I was in the Yonizel of East Brunswick a few weeks ago, an older gentleman comes over to me. He must be in his 80s. Comes over to me and says, and he heard me introduced, and I spoke about 6 times in the shul. And then he says to me, I heard your name is Avishai David. Did you lane in Rabbi Jacob Bolka Shul when you were 13 years old? I couldn't believe it. I met someone who actually could testify that I laid in that shul. They didn't know that I walked 5 miles from the other side of the Bronx in order to lay in that shul. I thought there was another portion. And in order to lay, I had to prepare the laning between 30 and 50 hours a week, which I did when my whole week was occupied. Every trump had to be in place. Every shvanah, every shvanah.
Who was going to correct you?
Can I tell you what happened once?
No, there's nobody correct.
You want to hear something? I prepared the wrong passion.
Did anybody correct?
No. I started reading the wrong Pasha. The Rav was not there in that chapter. I read the wrong Pasha. And Maftir, someone says, I think that the Pasha is not the day. Doesn't need to a Pasha. So he pulls out a Luach, this guy, an older fellow. And the Luach says, whatever Pasha it was. And I said, no, it can't be that Pasha. I didn't learn it, so obviously it can't be that Pasha. Clearly, I prepared the right Pasha. They produced another 3 Luchos. They consulted every single person in the shul. Most people didn't even know this. Amazing, amazing. And I ended up having to lay in the real Pasha, the right Pasha, which I didn't prepare. That was absolutely, I don't know how to describe it. It was Tzav Balechayim Doraisa, according to Hades, unquestionably. But my father was very into, he felt we should daven for the Yomid. But we were in the Bronx, so we lived in the Bronx in Fort Apache. I guess we call that. There, more people had left the Bronx. There was a pasuk. I don't mean to be racist, Chas v'Shalom, but the pasuk about the Chas Tzein Kol Haaretz, Vatzev Shach Haaretz, was Gevurah v'Hashvaos and Gantzin. And as a result, we were the last people left there. The last 15, 20 people. So we started saying Shurim. I was 13 years old. I said Shurim Mishnayis and Kirgi Abbas, even Gemara, so whatever Malabatim were left. All my brothers. We became Rabbanim. Erev Rab, or as I say, Rabbanim. Rashayin Bodim. Anyway, that's what happened at a very young age. And so my father felt that was a good thing. I mean, we didn't move actually from the Bronx till we came home one day and we discovered we had no house left because they were kind of a possible. Oru, out of your street block. They thought they knew a possible Tanakh. And they decided to go ahead and be kind of a possible. I used to play basketball with these chaps. They had springs in their legs. They're very, quite good.
They bring animals.
I'm sure it's a commercial. They didn't like Semites. They call them today anti-Semites. Anyway, so I think we were forced to move. My mother wanted to move many years before. And my father refused. My father said, we're not giving it to them. Remember, we called in. My father was on the call. He called in Mayor Kahana. He came with the JDL Chevra, the vigilante squads, and Lenakot Netair Tveria, or Lenakot Netabrax. That's exactly what they did. And then I heard him say some Shurim, Mayor Kahana, when I was a very young man, 13, 14, 15. It was a massive. Just had some philosophies that were not exactly in sync with my thinking. And his methodology has also left a bit of an illusion. He was awesome, tremendous. He was. My father was someone who was very medactic in halacha. I mentioned Shabbos. He never worked on Shabbos. All his entire firm worked on Shabbos, 200 Jews. He was the only one that didn't work on Shabbos. My father was Meisel Nefesh for Shabbos and also tremendous the cheretz for everyone. For Rabbanim, my father used to fix all the sidurim in the shul. He felt that's how he self-appointed Gabbai. That's what he was. He appointed himself as Gabbai and he used to do all these kinds of things. He had tremendous the cheretz for Rabbanim, for Lomdei Torah, in general, but my father was a very tough guy. I'll tell you two stories, now with that I'll end. I have no difficulty telling over these stories, but they're quite difficult. In Yom Kippur, in 57, the Yankees were in the World Series. Those days were the Yankees were doing well. As long as I lived in the Bronx, my school clearly was responsible for that. Never heard of the Yankees. I haven't dealt with the Yankees. A baseball team, don't build up those things. Anyway, but you heard the actors.
I heard the story as well.
You heard the story, okay. It's a true story that my girls could testify to it as well. And so the whole shul cleared out during the avoda. Why in heaven's name I stayed with the avoda? I don't say a word of what the heck is going on over here. What's avoda? So next door, not far, was a pub, a bar with a screen. The whole shul was in. 200 people were watching outside. They didn't go into the bar. I didn't fancy or give it, but they suddenly enjoyed it. So the president sees what's going on. The son's got to get back to the Aveda. We need the minion of the shul. And the chaz has gone on his merry way. And the president decided he got them all back. He said, here's what we're going to do. He didn't tell it to my father. He wouldn't tell it to my father. You will see why in a moment. Every 15, 20 minutes, I'll go out to find out what the score is. And I'll stop the chaz. And we'll announce the score. We'll have to go outside. So we'll have to take care of the Aveda. He then, 15 minutes later, announced the score. Yankees 5. Boston 4, Hibbit, hooray! I remember that Loshin. My father ran up to the oven, ran up to the, smacked him across the face of both. He did, and wow. I was maybe 8, 9 years old. I don't know how old I was. Very, very young, and a scuffle emerged. I used to love that. I thought, that's why we came to shul all day. We used to have, remember, there's a guy, he used to dab in the oven. He used to call him Basayayna, because he had a voice that was Shreklach. But he loved to dab in the oven. He called the Basayayna, the ostrich. Anyway, there was a rub, but the rub was busy hiding, as you understand. Most of the people in the shul were not sharing Torah mitzvahs. They were not sharing Shabbos. People used to come in the morning and then go to work. See, that's what they did. That was the dinner. And so that's what I grew up with. And we were a small group, a handful of people actually, who were showing Torah mitzvahs. We had a youth leader. He was absolutely tremendous. Anyone would talk at the shul, my father would first glare at him and then scream at him. People wouldn't dare to talk. They didn't like my father. He was not such a well-liked personality, sure. No one would dare talk. I couldn't move. I couldn't say a word. My father held us down. We started coming to shul. We were 5 years old. Tzil Betzibra. I don't know, Mike Bukhia, Tzil Betzibra, Philip, at the age of 5, I don't know what he's saying. The age of 5 years old, it's a little bit extended. I don't do that with my own children. I certainly tell my grandchildren, tell my their parents, or my children not to do that. Everything has to be with the Ava and the like, but it was a different door. And so what emerged from all this are four brothers and a sister. One brother is Rebbe Bracha, you probably knew him, Judah's father. He was a Boki B'Shas. Boki B'Shas, completed an accountant, CPA for 50 years. And I went, actually, my father was very honest, very, very blunt. Honest, they were unbelievable in our house. And my brother was audited by the IRS, that's the Mas Hakhasa people over there, probably about 25 times. So once I asked my brother, can I come to an audit? I want to see what goes on over there. And my brother had me, got permission. I came to the audit, and they went after my brother, about five IRS examiners. But the problem was that my brother was also a tax lawyer. He had a degree, a law tax lawyer, and he knew the entire tax code of the United States the way he knew Shas. Every section, every number, he fashmetted these guys. He just put them to pieces. My brother never lost the case. My brother had some very high-paying customers. Harry Belafonte, I don't know these names. There's some very, very big people. Millionaires, multimillionaires. My brother saved them loads of money. But my brother was very, very honest. Imagine that I was sitting shiver with my brother, with my nephew, Judah, over here. So this one of the auditors came. He told me he never met such an honest accountant in his entire life. That's because my father. Father was very, very honest, very, very glad. The last thing I'll say over is that my father couldn't handle why there's no Bichas Kohanim Mechutzaretz. He comes to Eretz Yisrael. My parents moved to Eretz Yisrael to the end of their life. And he has a Bichas Kohanim, and there's no Bichas Kohanim. So it says in Ramah, there are many reasons that are chonim. Ramah said, because they're through them, they're busy, involved with Parnasa. Very hard over there in the United States, in five towns, and very difficult over there in L.A., and in Beverly Hills, very, very difficult time in Panosa, et cetera, et cetera. My father, TC, what's going on here? He said, what in heaven's name is the Pshat Rabbah? So my father asked me, what's the Pshat? He has three sons who are Rabbonim. And these Rabbonim can't answer his kashi. My father has thousands of kashis at Chumash. Thousands. We go there. We have notebooks with his kashis. Why am I spending all that money sending you to day schools? Thousands of dollars, you can't answer a simple kashi at Chumash. Oh, that's for the simple people. We only deal with, you know, Chef Schmeitzers and Seisen and Gemoas, that we don't handle this. So my father, after a year or so, never said, came to the following Maskana regarding the Kohanim. My father said, because there's a difference between Chutzars and Eretz Yisrael. The Chutzars, they believe in the Almighty Dollar, in God we trust. That means in the greenback. That's what they believe in. But here, they're actually Mamin and Hashem. That's why over there, the Tun Pan Sosa Mechasim. I told that to Rabbi Zol Shlita. He said, oh, David, Mimi Shomata Etzeh. I said, "May Avi Meir Zechel Lebracha, Ashiro Vashrei Chelko, De La Mitzvah Shotel." As he told me, all those La Mitzvah Shotel. My father loved Gemuna, was reflected in his davening, in the Shabbos, in Shmeis Mitzvahs, his dictum Mitzvahs covered from Abadim, covered Atera. That's what we saw. So even though he never had a formal Jewish education, but Baruch Hashem, he produced at least exception with exception of one, the one in front of you, he produced some good children who are Baruch Hashem very committed. To Hashem, to us.